You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
What's up, Gen Z? I'm here today to help you grow and mature in your faith. And we've been doing a two-part show on boasting in the cross. And so my question to you has been, what are you tempted to boast in? I mean, sports fans are tempted to boast in their sports, right? People who work out are tempted to boast about how fast they are or how strong they are. In fact, some really like to boast in their strength. Did you hear about how just before takeoff on an airplane, a stewardess reminded boxing great Muhammad Ali to fasten his seatbelt? The brash Ali retorted, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." The stewardess responded, "Superman don't need no plane either." And without a word, Ali promptly fastened his seatbelt. So you can't really boast in your strength that somehow you can outdo a plane, right? Some like to boast in their riches. I mean, there were three small boys that were all bragging about their fathers. And the first kid said, "My father works as a lawyer and he brings in $100,000 a year." "Huh," snorted the second little boy. "My father does a fashion shoot for a week and he brings in $10,000. "Huh," exclaimed the third little boy. "That's nothing. My father stands up for 1 hour to preach, and it takes six men to carry in the money." Probably talking about the people collecting the offering, right? But these stories, they're fun and they make us laugh, but they kind of all point at this reminder that people just like to boast and they like to brag. But the Bible gives us a stern warning about what we should be boasting in. Remember Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24? "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." So we've been asking last week and again this week, what are you boasting in? And really, the simple show last week was all about, well, you can boast in the flesh. And that's what the Galatians were doing. Some of the Judaizers had shown up to town. They kind of ruined the party of the new young Gentile faith by confusing and mixing their faith with works. And they were telling them that they needed to be circumcised. And they were telling them that they needed to return back to the Old Testament dietary restrictions. And if you remember, their motive wasn't pure. Their motive wasn't to honor the Lord. Remember, their motive was really motivated by pride. And they were motivated by fear. And they were motivated by hypocrisy. And if we're not careful, we could be motivated by similar things. I mean, do you boast in your profession? Do you boast in your physical accomplishments, in your salary, in the car that you drive, in the size of your house, in the school that you attend? You know, do you boast in how many verses you've memorized? Do you boast in how many books that you've read? Do you boast in how much Bible knowledge you've attained, the size of your church or the size of your small group or your youth group or your college ministry? I mean, all this to say that there is really only one thing that we should be boasting in, only one thing worthy of our praise. There's only one thing that will last forever, and that is the message of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Remember, what dominates your attention and your affection is what you will boast in. What means more to you than anything else is what you'll read about, it's what you'll talk about, and it's what you'll boast about. Where you spend your free time reveals where your heart is, and where your heart is where your mind is, and where your mind is where your mouth is. And what will come out of your mouth are boasts about that which you care about the most. And so we're talking about learning to boast in the cross, right? Because there's only two things you can boast in. Last week's show, you can boast in the flesh, or this week's show, you can boast in the cross. Let me take the rest of our time and talk about that. In these three verses, I'm looking now at Galatians 6, 14, 15, and 16. Paul gives three reasons for boasting only in the cross of Jesus Christ. The first reason he gives is found in verse 14, and it's that the cross has the power to free men from the world's bondage. Listen to what verse 14 says, "But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." Now, the Judaizers had boasted in their Judaism, and Paul is now telling them, you got to boast in a crucified and risen Savior. I mean, there's a strong emphasis here in the original language where he says, may it never be that I would boast in anything but the cross. It's almost like Paul is earnestly yelling this out. He's preaching this truth. And of course, when he says boast in the cross, he's not talking about a block of wood here, but he's talking about what the cross represents. The cross represents God's love. It represents God's forgiveness of our sins. It represents the substitutionary atonement of Christ. It represents God's punishment of his own son on the cross. It represents God's pardon of our sin. It represents all that Christianity stands for. Without the cross, there would be no redemption. And without the cross, there would be no justification. And without the cross, there would be no adoption into the family of God. In fact, some would say that just in verse 14, we actually see three crosses here. He said, may I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus. That'd be cross number one, to which I've been crucified to the world. That's cross number two, and the world to me. That would be cross number three. I mean, the first cross is, let me boast in the cross of Christ, right? I'm talking about a real place, Golgotha, where Jesus died on a real cross, the cross where he died, where he was nailed, where he was suffering, where he wore a crown of thorns, where people mocked him, where he bled, and then he gave up his life. That's the cross of Christ, and we're to boast in that. That's what he did for me. That's what he did for anybody that would repent and believe in him. That's the first cross. The second cross of verse 14 is, it says, let me boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me. So this would be the word world here, the cross of the world. World is the word cosmos. It refers to the order of the evil system ruled by Satan and his agents. The life of a person apart from Jesus Christ is a life captivated by this evil system who enslaves its victims to fleshly pleasures, whether gross immorality or simply the day-to-day self-gratification. In one way or another, every unbeliever is in bondage to the futilities and the frustrations of the world. And so the person that belongs to Jesus, though, he's freed from the world system. So when we say that we've been crucifying to the world's been crucified to me, we're saying we're free. We've died to that. I mean, as Christians, we're commanded not to love the world nor anything in the world. And so the idea of the world again and the believer being crucified, because that's the third cross, right? I'm going to crucify myself to the world. And so the idea here is that you're dead to the world. In the case of the flesh being crucified, it does not mean that the world has no more influence over the believer, that it's never going to be tempting for you again, but it means that it has no more dominion over you, that its power is broken, and you are no longer in total bondage to it. In the case of the true believer being crucified to the world, it relates to the Christian's practical living before God. The faithful believer has no more compelling interest in the things of the world. It's like what Jesus says in Luke 9:23 when he says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And then he goes on to say in Luke 9, 24 and 25, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? So, young man, Gen Z young man, let me ask you today, has the power of the cross freed you from your bondage to sin? I mean, you've got to look at the first cross, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to see the other two crosses where the world is going to be crucified to you and where you are going to be crucified to the world. And if that's happened in your life, then the cross of Christ has freed you from returning to your worldly pleasures. Are you able to say, along with Paul, which he wrote earlier in Galatians 2:20, that I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So again, we're talking about there's only two things to boast in. You can either boast in yourself or you can boast in the cross. And if you are boasting in the cross, the first place of emphasis that we've been looking at here is that the cross has the power to free men from the world's bondage. Are you free today? If you're boasting in the cross, then I hope that you are free from the world's hold on your life. Now, don't go away, because when you come back, we're going to look at two more things that you can boast in when you seek to boast in the cross.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. We're walking through Galatians 6. And if you've been paying attention, you're seeing how radically different the Bible's view of greatness is from the nonsense that we're fed by the world every day. The world says, boast in your gains and your grades and your grind. But Paul, he says, if you're going to boast, boast in the cross. That's why I'm going to point you to a resource that will help you frame that even more. It's Dr. Jerry Bridges' Trusting God. It's not some kind of motivational tool. No, it's theologically rich, and it's incredibly practical. It's available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org right now, and it helps you rest in the sovereignty of God. Even when things start falling apart in your life, the things that you've planned on, the things that you're struggling to let go of, Trusting God by Dr. Jerry Bridges will help you understand it. Pick it up right now in the Fortis store. And if you're trying to figure out, young man, what your life looks like, what are you going to do? You're about to graduate high school, or maybe you're out a couple of years. Take a look at the Master's University. They're not just preparing students to launch careers. What they're doing is preparing young men to live faithfully in a world that's increasingly hostile to biblical truth. Check them out right now. They're the real deal. Rigorous academics, but a Christ-centered faculty and a campus culture that takes the Bible seriously. You can find out more right now at masters.edu/manhood. If Fortis has helped you grow, if the podcasts and the resources, the audio and video content that we release daily have helped you clarify things in your walk with Christ, can I ask you to prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? We would love to have you as a part of the Fortis Institute family. Now, we're never going to ask you to give up supporting your local church. As a matter of fact, we're going to make sure that you are giving to your local church. We don't want you giving to us if you're not giving to your local church. But if you are and you're able to join us, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like in your life to join us. All right. And don't forget the Fortis Plus app. If you've not downloaded that yet, real deal daily solid content rooted in scripture, tailored for your life right there. 7 pieces of content, as I said, we add every single day. It's free. Doesn't cost you anything at all. We're never going to ask you for 99 cents a month, $1.99. We're not going to ask you for anything. All we're asking you for is to download it right now where you find your apps. You can go to fortisplus.org or your app store on whatever device that you might have. Just search for Fortis Plus. All right, let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson right now, because if we're going to boast, let's boast in the cross. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
All right, well, welcome back. We are talking about boasting in the cross. There's only two things that you can boast in, either yourself or the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're boasting in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're looking at three truths that encompass that concept. The first is the cross has the power to free men from the world's bondage. And we saw that from verse 14. Let me give you a second reason for boasting only in the cross. The cross has the power to do what the flesh cannot do. Listen to verse 15. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. That verse is saying that the flesh, weakened and corrupted by sin, is not able to keep the law perfectly, no matter how hard you try. And that's what it's saying when it says circumcision counts for nothing. God doesn't really care if you're circumcised or uncircumcised, but what you do need to be is a new creation. Because you know what? Circumcision does not free you from sin. I mean, the New Testament and the New Covenant teach us that there is no spiritual significance in circumcision. There's no physical significance in a Jew being physically circumcised. I mean, that was important under the Old Covenant, and it was part of what was given even in the Abrahamic covenant as a seal for those who would receive blessings from God. But now that we're in the New Testament, the emphasis is no longer on a Jew being physically circumcised. The emphasis instead is on the circumcision of the heart. That's what God's interested in. He's interested in you being circumcised on the inside. That's why Paul says in Romans 2, 28 and 29, for no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. Just reminding us, a true Jew who is wanting to please God needs to be a Jew who's being willing to be circumcised in the heart. That's what God's saying in Romans 2, 28 and 29. And so it's about the heart, not about the externals. Now, sometimes externals can reveal the heart, but in the case of the New Testament, it's clear that the old covenant and circumcision have been done away with. This is what the writer of Hebrews means when he says in Hebrews chapter 8 and in verse 13, he says, in speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. And so again, all he's saying is that we're no longer under the constraints of the old covenant. And this would mean all of the ceremonial law. This would mean all of the dietary law. This would mean all of the social law. I mean, this means really we're not under that covenant anymore. We're under a new covenant. And the new covenant is all about the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, and the Spirit of God giving you the ability to overcome sin. And so there's new habits that are focused on in the New Testament, and it's really about just simply loving God and loving others. The New Covenant, again, is about being a true Christian. It's not about being an ethnic Jew, but it's about being a Spirit-born, regenerated Christian. And that would be true both of the Jews and the Gentiles who are made one in Christ. Paul says it this way right here in Galatians in chapter 5, verse 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. The cross can do what circumcision could never do. The power of the cross makes the believer a new creation in Christ Jesus, not circumcision. And so it's faith that's now working through love. That's what makes us a new creation. It's the faith that we have in Christ. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So young man, Generation Z, I'm asking you, has the old been done away with? You still have tendencies for legalism. You think you're a good kid. You think you're a good teenager. You think you're a good man just by doing things like going to church and reading my Bible and being baptized. And I'm saying those things are awesome. We should do those things. Any believer should be doing those things. But those things don't save you. And sometimes we look at those things as if that's why I'm a new creation. And that would be wrong. You're a new creation based on grace alone. And if God has made you new today, boast in Him. Don't depend on the good deeds of your flesh to somehow help you boast in redemption. Remember, the only thing worth boasting in is the cross. And so we're looking at, in this show, three things that you can boast in about the cross that would bring glory to God. Number one, the cross has the power to free men from the world's bondage. The second reason would be the cross has the power to do what the flesh cannot do. It's got to be faith in the gospel. The third reason for boasting only in the cross is that the cross has the power to bring salvation. Verse 16, And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Peace and mercy be upon the Christian who believes by faith that they've been saved. He's talking about just simply, it's not about the rule of the law, it's about God's rule of grace. Look, if you repent from your sin, and if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then by faith alone, in his perfect substitute on your behalf, God will save you. And if God saves you, he expects you to walk according to this rule of faith alone for your justification and not based on your works. It's not just about what you say, but salvation is evidenced by what you do. And so you must walk according to the rule of faith in Jesus and what he taught. Again, rule here is the word canon, which is where we get the principle of the canon of Scripture. Canon is the rod or the stick or the measure. And so this came to define the Bible as being the rule by which we live. And for those who live by the rule of the Bible and not your own rule, you will have peace with God and you will receive his mercy. And this peace is available for the believing Gentiles and for the Israel of God. I believe that this reference, the Israel of God, is simply a reference to Jewish Christians who are saved by faith in Christ alone. So Paul is not excluding Jews from salvation here. He's just simply reminding them that it's about faith in Christ and not about circumcision. Right? He's still going to save those who repent and come to Christ. This is similar to what Paul says in Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, when he says, "But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who were descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named." This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise who are counted as offspring. Romans 9, 6 through 8. Also here, Galatians 6, 16, just simply saying the only way anybody could ever be saved is by trusting in Jesus. That's true of all Gentiles. That's true of all Jews. There's still an ethnic difference between being a Jew or Gentile, but there's no efficacious difference in what it means to be truly saved. And so the word of God hasn't failed. He has a special plan for his people, but his people need to repent. And in order to really benefit from the cross, you've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul ends this book of Galatians by requesting to have no more trouble from these Judaizers. And that's why he says in verse 17, "From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus." And I think here he's talking about, look, I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. That's not circumcision, but that's the suffering. He's been willing to go through great suffering in order to identify with his Lord. And he's encouraging all of the Jews to come to faith in the gospel. He's encouraging all the Gentiles, don't go back to your former way of life, but keep on the straight and narrow path. And that path has been provided by faith alone. And it's because of this that we can boast in Christ. Young man, if we're boasting in Christ, may we be ready to suffer with Christ. You don't have the right to boast in the way of the cross if you're not willing to go the way of the cross. The road to Golgotha was a tough road, but it leads to a better life, greater joy, and lasting inheritance. You may be also thinking, well, why does it say boast only in the cross? I mean, aren't there other elements of Christ in his teaching that we could boast in that don't deal directly with the idea of the cross? And I would say, yeah, there are other things that we can be excited about, but the only reason we can be excited about those things is because of the cross. We don't magnify the other things, we magnify the cross itself because that's the source of life. May we magnify the light of the world, Jesus Christ, and let his blessings flow from his cross. And so today, let me pray for you that you would learn to boast only in the cross, that the world has been crucified to you and you to the world, and that's why the only thing worth boasting in is the cross of Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us that we could do just that. God, thank you for this show. Thank you for the reminder here today that there's really only one thing worth boasting in. And God, I pray that you would help us to boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from the world. And I pray that today for that young man who's just struggling, help him to be reminded that it's only through the cross that we can be saved. And it's only through the cross that we can be a new creation. And so may we walk by this truth, God, and may you fill us with all the joy and peace of knowing what it really means to walk in the way of the cross. And may we boast in that and in that alone, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.